So it is half term. Does anyone have any plans?
I'm going to do my
hall. Oh, nice. A bit of DIY. Anyone else doing some DIY?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's worrying that my wife put her hand up. No one else got any plans. I guess if you had really big plans for half term, you probably are joining us on YouTube this morning because you're on some beach somewhere sunning yourself. But what if we look slightly further ahead? Has anyone got any plans for next year? No plans at all. If you do, feel free to shout out. It makes this part easier. Keswick, excellent, yeah. Looking forward to Keswick next year. Any other plans for next year?
Yeah, I thought of getting married in June.
Oh, that's amazing. That's some really exciting things to be planning towards.
It's terrible.
I'm renovating my kitchen.
You're doing what?
I'm renovating my kitchen.
Renovating your kitchen, nice. This week or in the next?
Next week.
Next week.
That's the question, wasn't it?
Excellent. It's good to make some plans occasionally, isn't it? Let's look even further ahead. Does anyone know what they want to do when they grow up?
No.
You got an idea?
I've got an idea.
Yes. You're not going to share. Okay, kids, we need some help today because apparently none of the adults know what they want to do when they grow up. So, oh, someone's got a hand up. You want to be a fireman? Amazing. Yeah, that's good to know. We'll know who to call if we ever have any problems. Yeah. You want to be Elsa? Wow. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Okay, so kids, I'm going to need... Oh, yeah, we've got one more. You want to be a vet? Excellent. So if we've ever got a fire or a sick animal, we're going to know who to get in contact with. Now, I do have some things for you to do this morning if you're, say, below this sort of height. So we've got lots of colouring sheets at the back that you can go and colour in. Oh, one more, sorry. Someone else knows what they want to do. Yeah, Maddie. A zookeeper. Oh, we've got a whole animal thing going on over here. So there's some colouring sheets over at the back if you need those. We've also got some calendars for you to make. Okay, so there's a bit of gluing and drawing and stuff going on there. I also found these. Now, I'm told we need to read the allergy information on these. It says, only to be taken by people who've listened well and coloured well and whose parents say they can have them. So we've got those for the end as well. Now, most importantly, I've also got a really good visual aid that I've made for this morning. But I kind of forgot, and I only did it in pencil, so it needs colouring in, otherwise no one's going to be able to see it, and it's all going to be really terrible. So Louise is going to be at the back organising all of that for me, so if you can go and help her with that, she'd appreciate it, otherwise she's got 12 sheets of A4 to colour in, so thank you for that. Now the rest of you, hopefully, you should have maybe been given one of these if there was nearly enough this morning. So it is very small. I was trying to conserve paper, but it's just a little visual aid. On the one side, you've got a weekly planner, and on the other side, you've got a 2026 calendar. Now hopefully, things will become clear as to why I've given you those as we go through this morning. Okay, does everybody have what they need now to get through the talk this morning? Now, most importantly, I hope everybody's got a Bible or their Book of James that we've been working through. If not, the passages will be put up on screen. Thank you, Delica. And today we're going to finish the fourth chapter of the Book of James, which Jeremy started for us last week. So we're in James chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. It's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, nice, cheery one. Oh, it gets worse. But there is a danger when we've got a little portion of scripture for us to skip over it quickly, particularly when it's not so jolly, and to say, yep, tick, I've read that, I understand that, that's fine, let's move on. But sometimes I think that means we miss the point. So there's two things I'd like us to bear in mind this morning. The first is that when we think we've understood a really short piece of scripture, and we think we can move on, let's use that as a trigger to maybe think a second time, to read it again, and make sure we're actually applying it to our lives. And the second thing is to remember that those section headings and chapters and verse numbers, they've all been added to the Bible relatively recently. And they're there to try and help us to understand, but they're not original, and they're not God-breathed, and sometimes they break up the passage where it shouldn't be broken up. The message of the Bible often flows through those sections, through those chapters, and we need to understand the context of these little pieces of the Bible. Now, the book of James is one continuous letter, and it would be really good to read it like that each time we study it to understand the context. But don't worry, I'm not going to read the whole thing now, but maybe later in the week, have a read through the whole thing and see where this little passage fits in. These few short verses that we're looking at today, they're sandwiched in between what we read last week about warnings against worldliness and what we'll look at in a few weeks' time about warnings about riches. And the whole section's introduced by what we read 2 weeks ago about worldly wisdom versus wisdom from above. The context of today's verses is in the midst of warnings about living in the world, in the way that the world lives, serving selfish ambition, being worldly and desiring the riches of the world, treasuring up money, wealth, and influence for ourselves in this life. And we shouldn't ignore this context. But as we're going to look next time at all those warnings on riches, this morning I'm going to try and take some wider principles out of these verses, and we'll back those up with other passages from the Bible. But don't worry, I will come back to that immediate context before we draw things to a close. How many of us have ever used the expression me time? Yeah? That's me time. That bit there, I'm carving that out, that's for me. How many of us have never used that expression, but we definitely look at our time, at our week, as belonging to us? How many of us really don't like it when the preacher asks them to take part in answering questions from the front? You know, so we've been going through the book of James. The whole series has been titled Proverbs of the New Testament, because James is all about having wisdom that comes from God. just as the book of Proverbs is in the Old Testament. But there's another wisdom book that, like Proverbs, is also traditionally attributed to Solomon. And that reads quite differently. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says this. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil which he toils under the sun? Now that word translated vanity five times in that first verse is the Hebrew word hevel, which literally means vapor or breath. I'm looking at John to see if he agrees. He's nodding, so we're good. And we're getting towards that time of year now when we can see what the writer was talking about. When we go outside and we can see our breath hang like vapor in the air before it disappears. Ecclesiastes literally says that life without God, living for yourself, is like a vapor, like breath hanging in the air. And maybe James had this in mind when he was writing today's passage and wrote, "For you are like a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Both Solomon and James knew that everything we build in this world and even our life itself is short and disappears into the wind. How else does the Bible talk about our lives? Solomon's dad, King David, speaks to us through Psalm 39. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And again in Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. What do our lives on earth look like to God? We're told it's as if God has a book, and in it are written all the details about us. Every day of our life written out before we were even formed in our mum's bellies. Isn't that incredible? So let's ask ourselves the question, how much of my time belongs to God? We've got those little weekly planners. I know they're a bit small, so as we look at what goes on in our week, I've got a slightly bigger version that I'll put up on screen so that you can all hopefully see that. So what goes on in your week? Now, I know that this week, for quite a few people, is a bit different. It's half term, so there's no school. But I also know that for some people, this week is a bit different. It's half term, so the kids aren't at school. But let's think about what a normal week looks like. I think I can say what the single biggest thing you'll be doing in a normal week is. That's right, it's sleep. Okay, it's really important, so I've put that up on the screen there in blue. Now, this might not look like your sleep pattern. Okay, maybe you like to sleep for 12 hours a night, and if you don't get that, you're grouchy. Or maybe you're the opposite. You squeeze in, you know, 2 to 3 hours, and that's enough because you're one of those bionic people that doesn't need a lot of sleep. But all of us, every week, spend a good proportion of our time in bed, trying to get some rest. And then there's a big chunk of time in the middle of the week that takes up most of the rest of the time. Now, for me, that's work, and maybe it is for most of you. For some of you, most weeks, that might be school or college. And for some of you, it's not going to be one big block of time, but lots of different times put together. Time looking after kids, time doing shopping, time doing housework. For some, maybe you work at night time, and so your sleep has to be in the day, so your plan is going to look in a bit of a different order to mine. But all of us have got a big chunk of our time taken up each week with what we might concisely label stuff I have to do and don't really get much choice about, or work. Because that's why we call it work, right? Because it's work. But perhaps you've got a bit more choice than others. Perhaps you're a boss, or you're retired, and you get to choose a bit more about what goes into your week. But all of us have a good amount of time we spend each week with normal day-to-day, week-to-week living. Now, very importantly, kids, we all need to make sure we clean ourselves and get ourselves ready. You know, we need to have a wash, maybe a shower, a bath, brush our teeth, get dressed. And then we need to eat as well, right? We need to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So let's add those on there in green. So we've got all this time that just gets taken up. And the week's starting to look pretty full already, isn't it? Now, your week might not look exactly like this, but it's going to have a similar amount of stuff in it. And we haven't yet got round to putting in any of the stuff that we really want to do, all that me time. But what else have we forgotten? Oh, who said that? Excellent. We haven't put God on our planet. We haven't put any time in spent with God. So let's see, we need a couple of hours Sunday morning, and then maybe an hour on a Sunday evening, and then let's put in a couple of hours midweek for home group, and then we'll have a little bit of quiet time each day. Can you see that tiny thin yellow line up there? So that's our time with God through the week. Is that kind of what your week looks like? Is this right? Should we be trying to squeeze God in around our lives? How much of our life should we see as belonging to God? All of it, that's the right answer. So that would look like this, right? Now that's hard to look at, and not just because I've put it in yellow across the whole screen, but that's difficult, right? God having all of our time, every second of every day belonging to God. But it does, doesn't it? It's God's air we are breathing. He created us. We owe him our entire lives. But I hear someone say, what about rest and relaxation? But God knows we need rest. In fact, God orchestrated the entire creation of the universe in order to give us a message that we should rest every single week. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. You know, God wasn't tired. That pattern of rest every week is there for us, so that we know to stop and rest and set time apart for God. And what about our time at work or school? Does that belong to God as well? To the Colossians, Paul writes, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men,
knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus. That space where we spend that massive chunk of time every week, that is our mission field. Those people that we spend most of our week with, they are the ones that God has placed in our lives. We're to use that time to serve God because it belongs to Him. We were challenged at our home group on Friday about how much we separate our work from God. When I'm struggling at work, do I pray? When those I work with ask me about my weekend, do I talk to them about what I did at church? When I'm just getting through the day, am I really seeing what I'm doing is working unto the Lord? So, whether we're planning what we're going to do in the next week or in the next year, everything we do should be for God. To the Ephesians, Paul writes, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Making the best use of the time. The New International Version says, making the most of every opportunity. And the King James Version says, redeeming the time. Almost as if we've got tokens for each hour, that we've got to decide how we spend those tokens, how we spend our time. Are we getting the picture here? We need to make the absolute best use of our time, because it's the time that God has given us. It belongs to Him. Kids, how are we getting on with that calendar? How are you, Simon? You getting that? Okay. Let's get back to James. What does James say is the wise way to live? Rather than saying we're going to do this or we're going to do that, we should instead say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Let's break that up a bit. If the Lord wills, we will live. That's point one. Before we make any plans, before we even look at the day, week, month, or year ahead, we acknowledge that we owe our very lives to God. We were created for His pleasure and His glory. Having acknowledged that, we then look at everything we want to do and say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. By way of a wonderful illustration, just a couple of days ago, on one of the church WhatsApp groups, someone posted, "I'll be there, DV." Now, some of you may be trying to work out who DV is, but it's not someone's initials. It's a really old abbreviation in Latin. And before we grow, we use these abbreviations all the time. Okay, this year is 2025 AD, which is Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. It's now 11:26 AM, which is Ante Meridian, which is Latin for before midday. And these are all just EG, which is exempli gratia, which is Latin for example. Okay, so let's not get hung up on using the Latin. But what does DV mean? It means Deo Volente, which means God willing. So writing a message that says, yeah, I'll be there, DV, means I'll be there, God willing. Or to put it the other way around, if the Lord wills, I'll be there. Now, what was particularly wonderful about this message was it wasn't making big plans or bold claims, but even in the little things, it was acknowledging that everything we do should be in accordance with God's will. And maybe sometimes we just need that little DV reminder of that. Now, I'm not going to talk for a whole lot longer this morning, you'll be pleased to know. But we haven't yet talked about how we know what God's will is, or how we can work out what God's will is in any particular situation. And we could spend the next couple of hours looking at that and barely scratch the surface. So we won't do that. But this whole series that we've been looking at in James has been looking at how we can have that wisdom from above, God's wisdom, in order to know what God's will is for our lives. Maybe there's things in your life right now that you would like wisdom to know how to deal with. Maybe there are really big decisions that will have lasting consequences in your life. Maybe you need wisdom for dealing with a particular problem that you're going through. Or maybe there's just too much going on in your life and you need to know what God would have you stop doing. Maybe looking through that weekly planner makes you realize that you just need some help. This morning, I want to give you three things that you can do to seek wisdom and God's direction today. Now, the first thing you need to know is to read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, let me know. We can solve that problem for you this morning. But read it. Don't just flip randomly to a page and say, that's what God's got for me today. That's not going to work. Turn to a passage that deals with what you're going through. Read Proverbs, read James, read the Psalms. Read about all the mighty works that God has done and which God will do. The second thing you need to do is to pray. Bring the whole thing to God in prayer. Explain the details of the situation to God. Yes, he knows exactly what you're currently going through, but he delights to hear from his children. And then keep praying. Bring it before God continually and ask him to show you the way forward. Now, the third thing I'm going to suggest is perhaps a little bit more difficult. Don't try and do everything alone. Find a faithful Christian who you can trust to walk with you through this. Get them to read the Bible with them. Get them to pray with you. Ask them to walk with you, alongside you, through what you're going through. If you need help today, don't leave this building without sharing your need with someone else. Now, I can't promise that if you do these things, that you will have an answer today. But I can promise you that God is faithful and will lead you on if you follow him. Now, there's one more part to today's passage, which it would be wrong to miss out. That last verse, James 4, 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Now, maybe in a certain circumstance we've prayed about what to do, we've studied our Bibles, and we've come to a conclusion about what we should do. Maybe we knew all along what the right action to take was. This verse warns us that if we know what to do and we don't do it, that is sinful. Sitting there and doing nothing when we know exactly what we should be doing, that is sin. Now, I'm hoping We've got a calendar that's nicely coloured in, all my events for next year, carefully highlighted, and I'm hoping it's going to spell out a message for us. Have we got some helpers to bring that up for us? Maybe not. Maybe whilst the kids are coming up the band, we'd like to come up as well and get ready. Now, just by complete chance, that's it. You come and weave up on the front and then lift it up nice and high. Just by chance, the events that I've got in my calendar for next year, I think, now they're all highlighted in the right colours, can you lift it all the way up high? I think they spell out a message. Can anyone read that? Now, for those that maybe can't see, I think I've got by the magic of television. Now, perhaps we could all try and read that out all together in wonderful chorus. Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three.
If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. James 4:15.
Isn't that amazing that my calendar next year happens? Spell out the verse that I was preaching about today. Thank you very much. Just 12 words long, but how important for us to remember what that says. Now, maybe you're sitting here today and it's your first time in church, or maybe you've been to church a few times and never really understood what it's all about. Maybe you've been to church on and off your whole life, you just don't know if Christianity is for you. And you've sat there this morning wondering if this strange guy at the front is serious when he's talking about reorienting your entire calendar around God. But just think about what I've told you this morning. The God who created the universe and created you in it cares intimately about every detail of your life. And this God didn't just stay distant from his creation, but he became a man, Jesus of Nazareth. God entered into his own creation to reveal himself fully to us. And that God wants a relationship with you. Now to me, that is completely mind-blowing. Isn't that God worth finding out more about? Isn't that God someone that you would want to get to know? So if that's you, please talk to one of the Christians here this morning. Ask them to tell you about the God they serve. For those of us here this morning who are Christians, who've already decided to follow Jesus, how are we doing? Are we living each day as we should? Are we acknowledging God every hour? Are we doing everything as unto the Lord? When we think about our future, who are we serving? Are we making plans based on selfish ambition and greed? Are we living in the way that the world is? Are we desiring the riches of the world and treasuring up money, wealth, an influence for ourselves in this life? Or are we saying to ourselves, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have read in the Bible this morning, Lord. We thank you for those 12 simple words, Lord, so simple and yet so difficult to put into practice. Lord, help us. Help us as we seek to put you first and to live as you would have us live. Jesus' name.